Turn your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5 tonight. We're going to just read over these verses of Scripture again because I want to continue our study, our series, on the keys to having a happy biblical marriage. I hope these keys are helping, and those of you that are married, and for those of you who are not married, bless your heart. Amen. maybe you can give some insight to some godly wisdom to marriage. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submitting yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. They two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege you've given us to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd help us as we look at this fourth key, Father, in the keys to a happy biblical marriage. And I pray, God, that you just speak through me and use me, Father, tonight. And may your people be encouraged through the precious word of God. May every home and every marriage, Father, be strengthened, Lord, through these series of messages and through the study of the Bible on biblical marriage. Father, I pray that you'd help us with these things. And Lord, I pray that you'd have your hand upon us and all that said and done tonight. We thank you. We'll praise you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. We begin to look at this fourth key of communication we dealt with last time. We've dealt with maturity, number one key, to be mature, to grow up, to be mature, maturity. We've dealt with love, and we dealt with submission. And those are the first three keys that we dealt with. And we all know that submission is not something that's very popular, but it's biblical. Amen. We're not looking for popular marriages. We're looking for biblical marriages. And how many of you seen The Royal Wedding? Did y'all watch that on TV? That was kind of ridiculous, if you want my opinion. But the prince who would never be a king, all those thousands of people lined the streets to watch this wedding. I think they've done that before, maybe not as many, but they've done that before to watch the royal weddings. And then it's not long after that they have a divorce, and then it's all over the media and everywhere else where they divorce. But that's just because there's a big crowd there, that doesn't make it a biblical marriage. Just because there's a lot of people there to take pictures and a lot of people there to entertain, it doesn't make it a biblical marriage. It takes some keys to make it a biblical marriage, amen, a happy marriage. And we study the Scriptures, and we've talked through several of these already in dealing with these verses of Scripture, that the husband's to love the wife, and the wife's to love the husband. And that love is a very strong thing, and that's what keeps them together. Amen? It's love and loving one another. So the fourth key tonight that we all want to discuss and deal with is this thing called communication. Boy, I'm telling you, that's something that's much needed in our homes and in our families, and certainly needed in the marriage, and that's communication. Young people, young lovers that are in love with each other, my daughters was speaking to these boys that they are married to now. I often ask them, how in the world do y'all have so much to talk about? I mean, they'd be on the phone for hours. And I said, y'all don't know each other that well. Surely to goodness, there's nothing else to tell. I mean, they can't be after so many weeks and so many hours and days on the phone. So how in the world can y'all have anything left to talk about? So I figure they just listen to each other breathe on the phone because there wasn't nothing else to talk about. But anyway, I used to tease them about that, but they would always have something to talk about. And I was the same way whenever I met my sweetheart. I'd call her up and talk. We talk about our day, and we just talk. We communicated. And we'd go eat supper and talk about stuff. And so whenever you're young, that's usually not an issue, communication. But as you grow older in your marriage, communication begins to be a problem. Lack of communication is not good for a marriage, neither is no communication. Communicating with anger and shouting at the top of one's voice is the absolute wrong approach. There's communication sometimes, but it's the wrong communication. Screaming and hollering is not communicating. Communication that could very well be omitted in a marriage is that anger communication. Problems and differences in a marriage are not dangerous. Problems and differences in a marriage are not dangerous. Not being able to communicate the differences or the problems, that's where the danger's at. Everybody's going to have their problems. Everybody's got their differences. How we communicate and deal with that, that's where the danger lies. And whenever we don't communicate, that's where the problem is. No communication. Many couples settle for a second-rate marriage relationship primarily because they've never learned to communicate. Whenever I have couples come into my office, and I've done this a few times over the past 6 years of pastorate, I've even done some whenever I was with the girls' home. I counseled people on the road in other pastors' offices and talked with folks, and one of the first things I do is have them to write down some things they love about each other. What made you fall in love with your spouse? So they'll write those things down. Usually if I do it in my office and we come back week after week and time after time, I give them some time to take that home and think about it and discuss it and come back and give us a list, give me a list of things that they love about each other. And then after we do that, I move into the next step. It's all right, now write a list of things that you despise about each other, some things that bother you about each other. And listen, although a lot of times we don't say it, they'll write it down. They'll pin it down. They'll come back and have that little piece of paper folded and hand it to me. These are some things. And we open it up and we discuss that. And that's the problem usually within their marriage, is because there's something that bothers them about their spouse and they're scared, afraid to admit it, afraid to say anything about it. And so they don't say anything. And then that becomes a problem. Communication in marriage is the number one key. Can be the number one key. But it is one of the keys. But it's a problem that a lot of people have, is no communication. And the scripture teaches us that we're to speak the truth in love. Although it may be hurtful to say something, we're still to speak the truth in love. Now, we're going to get into this thing a little deep, so you stay with me and listen close. I'm going to help you. Be careful what you say. And all of us men can say amen. Careful what you say and when you say it. Amen? There's a time to say it and there's a time to keep your mouth shut. Amen? Don't speak whenever you're mad. If your spouse is, your wife is mad, it's the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut. I'm going to tell her something. Well, tell her later. Go calm down first. Amen? It's a good time tonight, right? Communication, though, it's needful in a relationship. To have a happy biblical marriage, we must learn to communicate. Learning to communicate is where the trouble lies. Most couples, as I said, settle for a second-rate marriage relationship because they never learn to communicate. A lot of times whenever I'm having discussions with people and they open up these problems or these things that bother them about their spouse, and we read those out loud. They usually give me the list, so I take control of the situation, and I'll read it out loud. You wrote this down, and this is what you said about your wife or your husband. And this situation is what bothers you. Let's talk about that. Why did you not tell, whichever one it is, the husband or the wife, why did you not tell them that this is what bothered you? I was afraid to. Get that a lot. A lot of people are afraid to say anything. They're afraid to communicate that there's an issue or there's a problem because they're afraid of explosion, Afraid they'll explode, they'll go off the deep end, they'll get mad, get angry. So they just keep it quiet. They don't say anything. By learning to communicate, couples can exchange their honest feelings without fear. There's some communication killers, and these are three things I want to deal with tonight. These are called communication killers. How does a wall of resistance to communicate gradually build up between two people that love each other? Naturally, whenever you're young and we're in love, there's no wall there for communication. Man, we'll talk about everything. Both of my girls in here, they both say amen right there. I'm sure Stephanie would agree with that. Talk about everything. I mean, communicate and talk and talk and communicate. And I can take my phone bill and prove to you they talk a lot. There's no problem with communication there. But as time grows on, they begin to, couples begin to fail to communicate. There's a breakdown in the communication. And it's something that gradually takes place. It's not something that happens all of a sudden. It gradually takes place. There's three weapons you'll find that by using them, married people will gradually build a wall of resistance and they're no longer able to communicate. When a couple can't communicate, there's problems. Amen? There's a failure in marriage when they can't communicate to each other. One of the biggest things that the devil likes to do is put temptation before man. Amen? Put temptation before man. And man is scared to death to say anything about what he saw. Afraid his wife will go off the... He was looking at her. No, I wasn't looking at her. I wasn't lusting after her. Why would I want that? I have you. God gave us a good thing when he gave us a wife. Amen? And so it's okay to communicate, but sometimes we're afraid to say anything. The three weapons that's used to destroy a marriage, the first one is explosion. Whenever a person is told about his shortcomings, there's things that he does that she doesn't like. Whenever he's told that, sometimes they get angry. Vice versa, where the husband gets angry, the wife gets angry. The spouse gets angry, and the natural reaction is to explode. This explosion is the result of inner anger and hostility that causes them to attempt self-protection. I don't do that. Really? Oh, yes, you do, sweetheart, whether it's husband or wife. Amen? They go into this attempt to self-protect. What that does is teach our spouse that you can't come that close to my intimate, personal weaknesses. If you come that close, I'll explode. Now there's a problem. There has to be communication, and we have to get over that explosion barrier. That's one of the weapons that's used to break down communication. It builds up a wall and it breaks down communication. It's exploding whenever something is said. It's a good thing to know. I ask my wife sometimes, do I look okay? It doesn't hurt my feelings if she tells me no because I just asked the question. It'd be stupid of me to explode on her if she said, no, your hair's fixed wrong or something hanging out your ear or your nose or whatever. I mean, you know, it wouldn't upset me. It shouldn't because I asked her how I looked. But if I didn't ask her and she just comes in and says, you need to change your clothes, you look stupid, I might get a little upset. But I shouldn't. If she's speaking to me in love as she's supposed to love me and she sees that I look ridiculous and I need to change my attire, then I should accept that and not explode. The explosion goes both ways. Of course, if the wife is trying to go out the door and she looks like something that's for sale and you conduct your manly duties by stopping her and say, listen, honey, you need to change that. That doesn't look appropriate. And she gets mad and explodes on you. There's a problem. Amen. We're having a good time tonight, aren't we? But explosion is one of the things that we have to overcome. It's a weapon that is used to destroy communication. The second thing is, not only is explosion a weapon, but the second thing is tears. Tears is a weapon that is used mostly by women. I'm not picking on the women, I'm just saying. It's a studied thing. And they say that women are usually the ones that use tears the most. Men don't like to cry. I learned a long time ago that it's okay for men to cry. Amen? There's nothing wrong with that. Some men are so prideful, they wouldn't shed a tear if they knew their life depended on it. But it's nothing wrong with a man to cry. Some men cry. Some men are a little more feminine than others. They cry at nothing. But mostly, for the most part, tears are used by women. Although some men may resort to it. It's a way of telling the spouse, don't tell me my shortcomings. Don't tell me the things that I'm weak at or I'll cry. If you tell me those things, number one, I'll explode. Or number two is, I'll cry. Usually the women are the ones that use the tears. After their first spat after marriage often leaves the bride in tears. This will teach the husband that she has a breaking point. He'll begin to hold back his communication in an effort not to make her cry. Now, when women are pregnant, bless your heart. Bless our heart. You have to use lots of wisdom and learn when to say something, when to not to say nothing. Because the emotions are like this. One day they're happy, next day they're sad. You can look at them and they start crying. I mean, you just have to deal with those kinds of things. But I'm not talking about whenever they're going through pregnancy. I'm talking about within the whole marriage. Amen? And tears is one of the things that would cause resistance in communication, because we're afraid if we say something, will cause them to start crying. Therefore, we don't say anything. Husband holds back his communication in an effort not to make her cry. Therefore, laying another brick in the wall of communication. It's noted that women are far more intricate creatures than most men, and often show their emotions through their tears. What the husbands have to do is learn what tears are what. Are those joyful tears? Are they stressful tears? Are they emotional tears? There's all kinds of different tears. My wife and I, when I took my week off to move, my wife had several days of stressful tears. And I was right there with her. I almost wanted to sit down and cry too. Somebody had to be the strong one. Amen. It was stressful. It was very stressful. There's a lot to do, and it's just overwhelming to look at all the stuff and all this boxes and all this moving. And Lord, help us, how are we ever going to get this done? We only had a week to do it in. It was stressful. But I knew those tears wasn't tears of anger. She wasn't mad at me. They wasn't tears of joy. She certainly wasn't happy that we was having to do this. Those were tears of stress, stressful tears. We have to learn those things, those tears that women have. They show their emotion through their tears. And so the tears can be emotion tears, stress tears, joy tears, or self-pity tears. We have to learn what those are. Just a little side note there, men, that'll help you. Amen? But tears will build a wall of resistance in communication. Exploding would stop communication. Tears will stop communication. Here's the third one. Here's the third weapon. Silence. Stop communication. That sounds like a no-brainer, doesn't it? If they're silent, then they're not communicating. Silence is a weapon that's used by most older Christians. Explosion is used by most younger married couples. But the older ones, we resort to silence. It's not to long before we realize that it's not very Christian-like to get mad and to get angry, so we just keep our mouth shut. We don't say nothing at all. And we certainly don't explode all over the neighborhood for everybody to see what we are, so we just keep silence. When our spouse points out our weaknesses and the things that they see in us that disturb them or bother them, they point that out, we get angry and we get silent and we don't speak. I know people that's went for weeks at a time and never spoke. Couples who went for weeks at a time and never spoke to one another. Stayed in the same house, ate at the same table, but never spoke for weeks at a time. I'm just going to go on record and say this. That's very childish. Amen. That's very childish. Amen. To get mad and not speak. Especially for weeks at a time. When children come into the scene, you come on the scene after a couple gets married and they're dealing with explosion, they're dealing with tears, these weapons is tearing together in communication, then children come along and it gets to where children are also one of the things that stops us from communicating. It causes us to be silent because we don't want to say anything in front of the children. So we'll be silent. We won't say anything. Silence is a very dangerous tool. It's dangerous because it rapidly stifles communication. and takes a heavy toll physically and spiritually upon a person. When someone doesn't speak to you, what's the first thing you do? You naturally think of all the things that they're thinking. Oh, I can't believe it. They're thinking this and they're thinking that. Y'all ever think the worst of things? Yeah. And we all do because we're human. We think the worst of things. If someone doesn't communicate and tell us, we think the worst of things. Sometimes my phone will ring and it's my boss man calling me. And sometimes I think the worst of things. Why in the world is he calling? What have I done now? And then he'll have something totally different to say. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Look, I know you're up to something. You'll never talk to me like that. But we think the worst of things. And whenever we don't communicate with each other, we have silence. That's exactly what happens. We think the worst. Silence is a very dangerous tool. It takes tremendous power to be silent for a long period of time. You know what can supply that power? A little word called anger. And the Scripture teaches us for all anger, and malice, clamor, evil speaking, all those things to be put away from us. In other words, you ought not act like that. How much better would it be for two people to learn to communicate freely and avoid problems and the side effects of those problems? Ephesians 4:30, the Bible says in verse number 30 of chapter 4, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That goes in the home. That applies in the marriage just as much as it does at the church. It starts at home. If we practice it at home, it'll be natural at church. Hello. That's good. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Walk in the Spirit. Be full, amen. Be filled with the Spirit of God and allow God to guide your steps and allow Him to guard your lips, amen. Don't explode and get your attitude under control. Ask God to help you with those things so you can communicate with each other. The greatest tool that you have in your marriage, one of the greatest tools, is to be able to communicate. Communication goes a long ways. Well, there's this thing that they do that just irritates me. Well, have you told them that irritates you? Now, there's one or two things that are going to happen. They either going, if you speak to them and talk to them about it and let them know what it is that irritates them, they're either going to, one, seek the Lord for help to get over that and stop doing it, or either you're going to have to pray God to give you the grace to not let it bother you. Amen. Because you know what? Marriage is a two-way street. It takes two. Amen. So if they won't quit what they're doing, you have to ask God to give you strength, to give you grace, to not let that bother you anymore. So these are some things dealing with communication. These are some weapons that are used to stop communication when one spouse or the other would explode on one, or if they begin to cry and tear up, that will stop communication. We'll hold back what we need to say or should say because we're afraid we'll make them cry. Or silence, we don't want to say anything because we're scared of the explosion, scared of the results, so we just keep silent, we don't say anything, and a lot of times we think the worst of things. I want to say this too tonight, a lot of times whenever you can't communicate to your spouse, the devil will put somebody before you that'll listen to you that you can communicate. That's a way of temptation. The devil will trip you up in a minute if you're not careful. Well, I can't tell my wife these things, or I can't tell my husband these things, but I can talk to this one and he'll listen or she'll listen. That's a snare of the devil. You better be careful with that mess. Amen? Be careful. Communicate with your spouse, not some stranger. Having a good time tonight, aren't we? Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, they grow up in Him in all things, which is ahead even Christ. The Scripture there says that we're to speak the truth in love. Keep in mind, the more truth you speak, the more love you better have. Well, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Well, you better not. You better hold on to it because you might need it. Well, this bothers me and I'm going to tell them about it. Well, you do it in a spirit of love. You pray and ask God when's the best time. And whenever you're communicating with one another, Don't get up in the morning, the first thing you do when your feet hits the floor is start belly aching about something that bothers you. That's a good way to run a relationship. Amen? Whenever you want to discuss those things, you do it in love, and the more that you want to pick on their failures and the things that bother you about them, the more you try to share the truth, you better be sharing a whole lot of love, because you'll have problems. Amen? My wife tells me all the time, she said, I like to pick my battles. That's a good analogy, amen? In a marriage, you ought to pick your battles. Well, I might not ought to say nothing this morning. I might ought to just keep my mouth shut. Yeah, that might be a good idea, buddy. Keep your mouth shut. Wait till tonight sometime when you got through your day. Supper time's a really good time to discuss stuff. Amen? It's not good to do it first thing in the morning. You get up fixing to start your day. You've got to go at it. You got so much on your mind, all the things you got to do. It's not a good time to start picking on things. Well, this bothers me about you. I hate it whenever you cough at night when I'm trying to sleep. Or I hate it when you snore and the walls vibrate while I'm trying to sleep. It's not a very good thing to be discussed when you first get up in the morning. You're liable to get a black eye before you go to work. Choose a time to communicate. Whenever you go to picking on those things and laying those things out, share a lot of love. Speak the truth in love. You don't do it in hatred. You don't do it because you're mad. Ephesians teaches us that. Keep in mind, the more truth that you speak, the more love you should use in conveying that truth. Truth is a sharp, two-edged sword, so use it carefully. Here's how you can communicate. I got seven things. Seven is the number of perfection. I wrote down seven things. How you can communicate. First of all, you pray for wisdom of God, and you be filled with the Spirit of God before you open your mouth. Amen? God may lead you to see that your objection to your spouse's behavior is not really that valid. Maybe I'll just forget about that. So pray and ask God for wisdom, number one. Number two is plan a time that is good for your spouse. Usually you should not discuss anything of a serious or negative nature after 10 or 10:30 at night, because it's going to make for a bad night's rest. And I promise you, the one that you're talking to, whether it's husband or wife, will wake up in the morning a little ill-tempered. Because you said something to them before they went to bed, and they're going to sleep on that thing, and it's not going to be good when you get up in the morning. Life tends to look darker, and problems loom greater at night. Supper time is often the best time to communicate. We used to do that in a girls' home. We'd gather around the table at supper time. Supper time is biblical. Y'all know that? The Lord's last what? Supper. Exactly. That's biblical, to have supper around the table. I love having supper around the table. And dinner, too. Dinner's fine. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And it's, by the way, it's breakfast, lunch, and supper, or breakfast, dinner, and supper. Ain't no such thing as dinner at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Amen. Moving right along. It's supper time. I mean, that's biblical. We call it supper time. Them Yankees up north call it dinner if they want to. Biblically, it's supper time. But that's the best time to communicate, when you're sitting around the table. We used to do that with the girls in the girls' home. And they would just, sometimes they just open up and just start spilling their heart, because they've been through the day, they spent the day with everybody, and we've worked together, we've done all kinds of different stuff, and we're sitting down having a meal together, and a lot of times they just open up and spill their guts and just tell us all kinds of stuff. And the spouse does the same thing. That's the best time to communicate, is supper time. All right, speak the truth in love. Kind words from the heart. Number three, speak the truth in love. Never, ever try to communicate in anger. It's not good. Trust me. After 30 years of marriage, I can tell you, it's not good to speak it in anger. You speak it in love. Kind words from the heart. Don't lose your temper, number four. Don't lose your temper. If you feel like you're going to lose control, leave the room. Amen? If you feel like you're going to lose it, leave the room. If you're angry, don't ever attempt to discuss something when you're angry. You got to go calm down. Amen. Y'all help me over here. Y'all been married a long time. Some of y'all have. Y'all better help. Calm down. Amen. Yeah. Allow time for reaction. Number five is allow time for reaction. Don't be surprised if your communication is met with an explosive reaction, especially in the early years of marriage. If you've been married for a while, it kind of calms down. They get silent on you. Don't be surprised. Allow time for reaction. Whenever you speak the truth in love and you tell them something that bothers you about something that they do, give them time to react. It may take a little while to soak in. They may not see where that's the problem. then after praying, seeking the Lord and trying to follow the Lord in wisdom and being full of the Spirit, because you love them, they'll start noticing, hey, I did do that. Hey, I am doing that. Sometimes people don't know if you don't ever tell them. Sometimes telling them will get your nose busted. So you got to do it in the right spirit. Amen? Don't do it in anger. Allow time for reaction. And if they swinged up. Okay, that was a joke, but anyway. Allow time for a reaction, especially in the early years of marriage. So number six is commit the problem to God. Once you've told your spouse, you have done about all that you can do, humanly speaking. So turn it over to God. So Lord, this is bothering me in my marriage. This is a problem that's bothering me. And I have shared with my wife in love, and I'm leaving it up to you to take care of it. And from that point on, you trust God. You have to trust God either to help you and your spouse change or supply you with the grace to live with it. Number seven, you must remember the two golden expressions. Number one, I'm sorry. A golden expression. Don't use it as a cover-up to keep doing what you're doing. I'm sorry, and repent, turn from that thing, amen. First, the golden expression is I'm sorry, and the second one is I love you. Say I'm sorry, say I love you. Say it often, and say it with meaning. It's one thing to tell somebody you love them, but you ever had somebody tell you I love you, and you don't really feel like they love you? Amen. They're just saying it to be saying that. Say it and mean it, especially to your spouse, amen, to your children. Say I'm sorry, say I love you, say it often, and say it meaningfully. These are seven things that help you to communicate. Communication is the key, number four in biblical marriage. These are not necessarily in a perfect order. I'm not saying that you have to wait until the fourth thing to get after you've submitted and after you've loved, then you decide to communicate. It's not the way it works. It all goes together. We've got to learn to communicate, love each other. Amen? And if we learn to communicate with each other and speak the truth in love and not allow things to kill our communication, we will have a happy biblical marriage. But if we allow all kinds of things to get in our way and kill our communication, it will kill our marriage. You've got to learn to communicate. No word did I say or read in the Scripture that was easy. But with God, we got to pray and ask for wisdom, amen? For God, all things are possible. Learn to communicate with each other. All right, hope this is a help to you. That's key number four. And we'll move right into the next one, I guess, on Thursday night, Lord willing. We only have six keys. We got two more to go in our series, and we'll be finished with that. And I hope it's a help to you, especially to our younger folks. Older folks, maybe you're getting something out of it. I hope that you are. But to our younger folks, I hope it's helping. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege.